Okay, so this, I'm going to open the work session of the board of the Highlight Fire Department. This meeting was noticed and discussed at the last board meeting, and there were handouts made available to members of the public. Just want to review the purpose of what we're trying to do tonight with the new board. I thought we just might spend some amount of time getting together and talking about our goals and sort of vision for the department as a way for the board to get together, hear what other board members think about the departmental goals, and see if we can get comfortable with a process that actually develops some, and then we can implement over a number of years. This is not to imply that anything is broken. It's rather, I think, a good exercise in sort of teamwork, team building for the board, great opportunity to interact with our fire chief, hear his thoughts about this, and there's nothing more complicated than that. My expectation is we'll have a couple of these meetings, provided that everybody sees value in them, and I want to do stuff just to do stuff, and I hope you find this valuable. We found it very valuable in our work, and that's it. And we'll just get started and just get going, and I would like just to have a sort of free form of exchange here, and then when we finish, if Bob over there has any questions, we'll be happy to sit around and entertain them. So before we begin, any questions or any differences of opinions about what we're trying to do here? Any trustees? Okay, I thought we'd start with this diagram because it's kind of an interesting exercise that leads us into goals and development. And this is simply a rubric, a way to get us to think about the business that we're in here. And it's important because understanding the business that you're in impacts everything you do. So it impacts the people you hire. It impacts what attributes and qualities they bring to a particular job. And it certainly impacts your capital expenses and all that sort of thing. So it really is an interesting way to frame things up. So here are three different organizations that are commonly compared. So Apple Computer, Dell Computer, and then Nordstrom down here. And I think it'll be pretty clear where we fall on this kind of spectrum, and we'll draw ours up there when we're done. But there are sort of three axes that companies generally have to compete on. The first is product leadership, the second is operational excellence, and the third is customer intimacy or customer service. And the obvious thing is you can't be all things to all people, so you have to make decisions about where you're going to put your resources, both human and financial, and what is going to drive your business. So these are meant to be just sort of little scales on these axes, and we're going to put little dots, and as you can see in your handout, we kind of connect them. So if we take a look at Apple, what's Apple known for?
Phones, computers.
Product, yeah, leadership. They build the best, coolest stuff in the history of mankind, right? All that sort of Steve Jobs kind of stuff. So they go way up here. This is what they're known for, the iPhone, the iPad, all their computers, which are expensive, but people seem to love because of their intuitive feel and the customer experience that people get. So they have to be okay at operational excellence, but they mostly outsource everything to China. They certainly don't have to be crackerjack at it, but still, stuff has to ship on time, so they can't totally ignore it. So they're probably right down here, and then we draw a line up like this. And customer intimacy is how they deal with their people. So I don't interact with Apple Computer much except online. You can get lots of information from that, but there's not an 800 number that people generally call, right, to get problems fixed. So again, they don't have to be great at that. They have to have some kind of customer care program. So this is kind of what their triangle looks like, right? And the implication here is, in this company, they're going to spend a lot of time, effort, and resources in hiring people and putting systems and processes in place that assure that they are knocking this out of the park every single time. They're going to do an okay job on these two other axes. Dell Computer, just for stark contrast, what do? They sell brown boxes with integrated circuits in them, pretty much, right? They have no product leadership. You don't have a Dell iPhone, you don't have a Dell anything. They are just spewing stuff out at a really cheap rate, and that's what they do. They don't concentrate on making the market. So in order to do that and make money down on this access right, they gotta knock this out of the park. They gotta ship that from wherever they ship it. It's gotta arrive to you in 2 days, and it's gotta work coming out of the box. So they have to be right on it with their customer, with their operational excellence. Again, I don't know much about their customer intimacy, but I bet you they spend more time working on it, thinking about it, than Apple does. So here's what their sort of triangle looks like. You can fill that in, I suppose, if you wanted to. But again, just look at the two different shapes of this. These guys are going to search for and allocate resources extremely differently than Apple, right? And the third for comparison is Nordstrom's, that department store in Seattle. And we know where this is going. They are known for crackerjack customer service, right? You get a personal shopper. They come to your home with the shoe that you wanted, and it's just you walk into the store, they know everything about you, and they're all about making sure that you have this experience in their store that is second to none. Again, they can't be a slacker on operational excellence, so they're probably somewhere over here. Product leadership, they sell everybody else's stuff. They might have a Nordstrom line, but they're not necessarily so concerned about being a leader in fashion. What they really want to do, and that they hire people for, and what they put money into, is making sure that every time you walk into that store, you're getting this knockdown, drag out thing, okay? So our fire department, right? Again, this is not a trick, not a test. I think it's pretty self-evident, but it's good that we all see it the same way. So where are we on this kind of scale here? Do we care much about product leadership? That would be like, is Jason spending his time designing a new fire truck? Systems and processes that way? No. You're going to buy it off the rack from yours, right? It's interesting. Back when I was first on the board at Sourdough, we were designing our own trucks. We sort of were in this product leadership thing, for better or for worse, but it's kind of an interesting shift. We're down here with operational excellence, right? On the very worst day, our customers receive just outstanding service. Customer intimacy, that's obviously important to us too, but more important that qualified, well-trained people show up to people's worst days and nights, right? And we really don't care if they're riding a green truck or a red truck or whatever, as long as that truck is meeting operational excellence. That makes sense, right? Now, we don't have a huge staff, so we don't have to worry about, you know, hiring people who meet that. And we already have them in place, fortunately. But it does have some implications for the kind of volunteers that I'm sure you are looking for, right? You are looking for people who are going to deliver that fantastic service and do it sort of with a smile on their face. So people who are grouchy or rude or can't brush your teeth in the morning, don't show up on time, probably don't make it through your cut, right? So just run you through that sort of self-evident exercise, because then if we agree that this is kind of the thing we want to be, you know, more Dell-like than anything else here, this then brings us into how we think about goals. So we're more like Dell than we are anything else. And just leave us up there a little bit. Let me just walk you through this model one time, and we can talk about it a little bit, because I think there's some interesting choices. But the premise is really pretty simple. You have over here where you are today, you come up with some buckets, and probably not more than six, you know, between four and six. And these are areas that you think are really important operationally. So I think I threw out some examples in email. Certainly, I would think we're going to have something to do with operational response, right? That's the delivery of services. Maybe that's what we call it, service delivery. I think, you know, I feel very strongly about financial transparency and good information to the public, something like that. You'd have something like organizational health and culture, whatever. We're going to create these buckets, and then we'll go through an exercise. We're not going to do this all tonight, of course, where we're going to describe the current reality, where things are, both the good and the bad, And then we'll go over to this side of the diagram and have exactly the same buckets and talk about where we'd like to be. And that's our goals. And in each one of these buckets, we'll create one, maybe two goals for a time period. I'm going to suggest nothing shorter than 2 years, nothing longer than 5 years. And they're not lists of things to do. There are things that you have to do to make those, to get to those goals. But they should be very focused, as the handout said, on trying to craft a couple of things that impact lots of goals. So if you can think of a single initiative that really knocks down a couple of the goals you're trying to go for, you get out of what you saw in this handout, this laundry list of stuff, right? Now, how do you do that is, it happens right in here, and these are called alignment actions. These are the things that somebody has to own, that resources have to be allocated to in order for you to get from your current reality to your desired future condition. And down here you have this thing which keeps the whole ship on track. You have mission and values. And we have a mission. I can't recite it right now, but it's long and kind of a mouthful, which is fine. And I think I sent around an example today of a value, right? So what the mission statement here does, and our values down here, is this is like, you start to think of this whole thing as like a ship, sailboat. You've got the deck of your ship here, roughly. This is kind of your mast up here. And this down here, the mission and the values, are that big, heavy lead keel, right? That keeps everybody going in the right direction. If you watch a competitive sailboat race, you'll see that there are people running around on this deck, screaming and yelling, bringing up sails, bringing down sails, adjusting to the changing of the wind, right? Businesses adjust to changing business environments. That's what all these alignment actions are. All these different things that have to do, because over the course of 2 years, things change and you have to adapt. You have to change your goals sometimes. They're not static. They're very, very dynamic and evolutionary. But you're not changing your mission and your values, and that gives everybody comfort because you know where you're headed. The finish line is generally that way. You have to tack this way and tack that way. But we're going that one direction. So mission and values is a place where we ought to spend just a little bit of time thinking about those. And thinking about, this is from our governance policy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we have, I don't know, probably like 16 goals, something like that. It's a pretty big list of goals. And we just might scroll down through that just to see how many we have there, Lana. Oh, we don't. We only have two.
Well.
You have two.
Two goals.
Two
Excellent.
Main goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So what we have there, we have a, in the hierarchy of what we're trying to do here, we have a goal around service there, but we don't have a bucket in which it would live, so we would name a bucket like delivery to service, right? And that would be the goal in there. And then you have to figure out how you want to make sure that goal is implemented, okay? So. The first task that we should explore tonight is figuring out what are the buckets that we really think are important to drive this organization forward and give them names. Then we can, you know, we just move them over here. Then we can just start to talk about them. Before we do that, are there questions about what this process looks like? And particularly, I'm interested in your thoughts on the mission and the values. This is our stuff. We own it. We get to change it. No reason to change it if we don't, but do we all sort of feel like this is what we're in business to do?
I think, you know, I guess from my perspective, tend to be more of a quantitative type. And I think qualitatively, the mission statement's very clear. Quantitatively, I think there would be debate in my mind as to the quantitative, the magnitude of response. I mean, are our goals to try and shoot for response times that are better than the city of Bozeman? Or, you know, what are those quantitative goals? And I think within that, I think, you know, so that would be one aspect of mission. I think values, you know, I think values are clearly normative, kind of qualitative things, and I don't know that you can, you know, easily quantify those. I think the qualitative, normative aspects are already contained in most everything that's said on that sheet. But I think from a quantitative standpoint, I guess I would break down the resources into a couple of components. I mean, to once you can specify in a more quantitative sense what that mission is, what kind of goals are we trying to achieve with regard to emergency response? You know, is it a time goal? Are there goals with regard to the type of emergency medical services that we can provide now? Are we looking at increasing the level of expertise that we can deliver? Does that require additional resources and human and equipment? And so I think once that quantitative aspect can be more clearly defined, then I think it's easier to look at current reality in terms of both human resources and apparatus building resources and what our current state is and what needs to be done to achieve a future goal. And if in doing that process, I guess when you look at where the rubber meets the road, if you evaluate how many resources are required, usually it's dollars to achieve both human and equipment, are those dollar resources that are required to meet that desired future realistic with regard to taxpayer response? Or do we need to adjust the quantitative level of our mission to become in line or to bring it in line with what taxpayers are reasonably willing to pay for that level of service? So I think some sort of quantitative measure of that mission would be important that reflects the qualitative statement.
Not only important, essential. It's essential to get down and define it. And you're talking about what's on page 26 and 27, or they start to talk about the difference between laundry lists and the difference between coming up with concrete, measurable things that advance these kinds of goals. And you're exactly right. The mission statement and the values are totally normative. Yeah, they're statements of what we as an organization value. And all I'd ask you to do is think about those things going forward. Be nice, work hard, never sacrifice the safety of those that we serve on our team is something different than our values, you know. So I can't even remember what the email I sent. Was it continuous improvement value or something like that? But so you can think of values that might apply to what we're trying to do, teamwork, right? Integrity. Another value might be something like financial transparency, something like that. Those are ours to create and to think about. But the important thing is that's how we now are going to start to evaluate the chief. And I think the evaluation process of the chief is not sufficient. It's okay, but we can do a lot better. And if we decide that the organization is going to have, continuous improvement. Let me just read this to you. This is from our company. Our goal is to always be looking for ways to make things smoother, easier, more effective, and higher quality. We believe every system and process is endless room for improvement. These include, but not limited to, purchasing property, managing leases, conceiving products, distribution of marketing material, blah, 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 blah. We are convinced that everyone in the organization has valuable ideas for the way to improve our process. And when you create values like this, the hitch, and it's a really big and important hitch, is you got to live by them. They become non-negotiable things that we as board members have to live by, and then we're going to have on Jason's evaluation, he's going to be evaluated. We're going to ask questions in his survey. How is Jason living up to these values? Is he exhibiting them? Because he and Brian have to model that to the rest of the volunteers. So it's a very, very powerful tool, but we should be super thoughtful about how we do it and very thoughtful about how we select that. Just doing the sort of, if we decided to go that route, you would see a huge difference in the quality, I think, of the evaluation of the chief. Make a big difference. Okay. And mission, again, we don't have to, the mission we just think about this kind of stuff, and I'm not saying take out, be nice, work hard, never sacrifice. Those are important things, and they're little mnemonics and rubrics. But again, when you get into this and you get really comfortable, particularly with values, if you choose to adopt them, then this stuff is super powerful because it is the ballast that keeps everybody going in the same direction. This is really cultural in an organization, and it will be our job through the chief to make sure that all the volunteers are understanding this kind of thing. You can't just do this and then not pay attention to it. Like that governance policy that's probably 15 years old, we're going to pay attention to it. That suggests there's a real problem there with it, right? Not that it wasn't well-intended and worked for a little bit at the time, but if it's not part of the culture of the organization and people aren't valuing it, it doesn't go anywhere, right? So, thoughts on buckets, and again, I wouldn't go more than six. We've got four here that we want. Again, we'll get to the current reality and desired future condition later, but the buckets are descriptions of parts of the organization that we think are super important, that we're going to have goals for, that the staff is going to, you know, spend their time thinking about all these things. So they ought to be, you know, they ought to be non-trivial things. Mm-hmm. So any suggestions? We can just start writing a little list of what buckets might be.
I think, given that we're a public entity, I think financial transparency is clearly one.
How about we call it financial systems? And so then, just to give you a preview of what this might go, we'll write a goal for that. Mm-hmm. And a goal ought to be that the staff and the public are, the staff, trustees, and public are well informed about the state of the district's finances, leading to growing confidence, something like that, mm-hmm. among our constituencies. See where I'm going with that?
Yeah, okay. There could be some subcategories.
Yeah, so we'll just put that in one. We got financial systems. What else?
Capital resources. Capital resources, both in the sense of building and equipment, apparatus.
I like that because we tend to think only in terms of rolling stock. But we got one, two, physical structures,
three,
house, probably a fourth. I bet in the next 5 years we'll have another station. That's really
five.
That's really big. Yeah. Some capital resources. How about something around operations?
What? I was just gonna say like operational stability or something.
Jason, what would you call that? Would you want to go around like operational excellence?
Sure.
I mean, one thing that these goals should be is inspiring and ambitious. And when you get into this process, and I said sales are coming up and down to adjust to different winds, you want to be careful about writing goals down and then changing them because things got a little hard, right? But you also have to recognize that we live in a dynamic environment, a little bit different than business, because you know we're doing what we're doing. But operational excellence strikes me as a good one.
Yeah. There's a human resource aspect of it too. Very important, obviously.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
The human resource aspect. I don't know. Human resources.
Yeah, I had
both paid and volunteer staff. However, you would.
I had culture. Culture. Human resources. I had up here something called public trust, which gets at the financial systems, which is to throw out another one. But this one is really, really important. And, you know, we're very fortunate to have, as near as I can tell, a really well-functioning culture in the organization. And as we know, we didn't have that you know, particularly with Ray and sometimes even with Sourdough, we did not have a really well-functioning culture. And everything goes to crap. The culture's not good.
You know, that almost, I mean, it could fall into part of your, you know, that culture, financial system. It can fall into a lot of areas. I mean, you're building public trust. I guess that could be part of an overall almost value or mission, maybe more of a mission than anything, public trust.
You know, let's see. So we got capital resources, kind of like that one, operational excellence. How about if we called this one public trust? Because financial systems rolls up sort of logically into that. It's not only about the financial systems, but the way the public, we operate our meetings, and we post minutes, and we notice things, and we adopt travel policies.
Yeah. I guess that, you know, public trust to me is also encapsulating more than just, I'd say, the culture, the, you know, board policy, yeah, board meeting operation, yeah, all of that is kind of encapsulated in public trust in some regards. I guess I'm almost more comfortable with financial systems kind of being a standalone
kind of. Okay, we could add another bucket. So we got financial systems, we got culture, human resources.
It seems to me that, if I may jump in here a little bit.
Please.
Nick here, financial systems and capital resources are board level kinds of things that are important. The operational experience kind of reflects more to the what we do for our community and our owners, the fire thing. Then the culture, human resources, and the, what was the word you just had up there that you erased, public trust. It seems to me of the three-legged stool we have, I think our reality, as I perceive it, versus what we might do in the future, needs this public thing or public trust or outreach or transparency. Some of the things you mentioned, Pete, about the way we do better on our minutes and do our noticing and doing all of that. But just the culture of reaching out the people in a way that is just going to become a cultural value. If you're on the board, if you're certainly the firemen are reaching out, they're there and you're holding people's hands and doing things in the worst possible times. But I've heard it said several times over the past 2 years that the job of the board is not to reach out to people. We don't have time for that. That's not our mission. And I think really that's a critical feature of being a member of the board, is this working to build that trust. Because if we're reaching out to people and then continue to reach out, even though they don't always come to meetings, or for example, maybe we have some presence tomorrow night going to the people, since they're coming to us to get this food, that we have something that we reach out to them. I'm not sure how that piece goes, but that is always in my mind, is how do we,
try to put a name to it. I mean, that's important. I've got a blank here. Something relations. Is it taxpayer? Doesn't sound quite right.
Public view or
public relations, customer relationships. You know, our customers are people that we serve. They might not even be taxpayers in the district. Clearly customers are taxpayers, all that sort of thing. So what I'd like to suggest is this is a different beast over here. This is about the tone that is set from the top down, so from the board and the senior leadership in the organization. And it's going to be very closely tied if we come up to values, you know, all the things that we talked about in this field. What Jason's looking for when he goes to Montana State University to do that job fair, he's looking for a particular thing because he knows this is the sort of area in which we operate, and these two are really, really important. And setting up that culture, human resources, you know, is going to, I think, directly be tied into some of the values that we come up with, and we should keep that as a separate beast. But Nick, you're going in, I think, a productive relationship, and why don't we just for right now just call this customer relations?
May I suggest we use community?
Community.
Customer,
yeah,
kind of puts
customer's
it.
It's not quite right. You're right.
Some of our community are paying taxes, some of them are not, because people have things that happen in our area, or we do mutual aid. So community, I think, is more of an inclusive word, and I think. Just opinion.
Yeah, that's good. And again, we're not carving agreement. What the way these things go best, and we have no time pressure on us, is to sit and Lana will get us some notes on this, or take a picture of it, and we'll send it back around and just think about this kind of thing going forward. So I would suggest we do one more thing tonight, unless there are questions about this, or comments or more things on this. We take one of these buckets and we just play around with formulating some goals. Which bucket would you like to start with?
Number one.
Number one. For me, yeah, that's the easy one for me.
Okay.
A couple of things I have, and I think we've started.
Now, two is probably the maximum we want to play around with in this. You start eating too many goals. We got five buckets right now. You get three goals in five buckets, you get 15 goals. That's too many goals. It's just not realistic to get that. So you really want to pick high leverage stuff. And it can start out as a statement, right? So your statement can be just, for example, the district's financial systems are of a such a state that the public, the trustees, and the volunteers have accurate and timely information on the district's finances. There's a goal. Now we're going to have to figure out, we're going to have an A and B statement, which stands for as measured by, right? So you've got your goal, which is a big sort of global thing, but it's got to be only a couple sentences. And then to Walt's point is, we're going to have to come up, not with a laundry list, but we're going to have to come up with ways that we measure how we're achieving that goal. So, one as measured by for that sort of global goal I just articulated for financial systems would be by the end of 2018, the financial dashboard is complete and incorporated into our practices, right?
Yep.
So we got that, right? So we got the I'm just going to call it the money dashboard. See where I'm going with this? You could have another goal that would be like, let's see, some information is disseminated on the website. Financial.
And I think some of that, I mean, we can evaluate what we do now, but in terms of robustness of the system with regard to, control of what's going on.
Right.
I think we actually have a very robust system, and I think maybe having spending some time with the public in terms of letting them know exactly how robust it is when the bills come. I mean, just the practical aspects of what we do, the routine that occurs, and how robust that is. And then I think in terms of reporting, you know, we do have the human resources in place now that. It's that system is even more robust with the people that we have in place executing the system that we have. And so I think, you know, we're in pretty good shape there. We could look at evaluating it and maybe look at each of the components to see if there can be improvements made in the robustness with regard to fraud prevention issues and that sort of thing. But communicating the information, I think, the dashboard concept will go a long ways towards communicating financial standing to the public. in a very simple and straightforward manner, and access to any detailed information is always available by somebody that would like to have a better idea of, you know, specific components of, say, the balance sheet or the P&L, that sort of thing. But I think that the dashboard concept is going to go a long ways towards achieving transparency with the community and improvement of community relations. Just, having some simple metrics being presented in a very straightforward fashion.
One of the things, Nick here again, one of the things on the financials that I don't have a feeling for, and I believe it's done very well, but the recording and tracking and understanding that financial information should lead to very clear understanding of where the money is spent in such a way, in such detail, that we have ever better understanding of why we need to spend money on, you know, future things, bigger pieces of equipment. So I guess an evaluation of the financial thing in my mind would be when we go at the end of the year and we look at all of the subcategories, did the monies that go against truck A and truck B and truck C really demonstrate from year to year that truck C is really digging in? I'm sure the chief and the operational people have a good feeling for that. I don't know how you convey that to the public with such detail so that that we're assured that those are really good metrics that we're following and we're on solid ground. And so anytime the public came in and say, yeah, we need X, and here's why we need X, and from this year, here's all of our little pieces and bits of money that went to this truck are here in this pile. And I don't know what the accuracy is. I'm sure it's quite good, and maybe it's more than enough, and I just don't understand. But that's a question I would ask.
Right.
So, evaluation goal for this.
So, exactly right. And what we want to think about doing is just moving that up one level notch higher. So the goal that we're fiddling around with for our financial systems, the first goal is the public trustees and volunteers have access to timely and accurate financial information. This is leading to increased confidence among key constituencies. That's the goal. We can mess with that all we'd like. Mm-hmm. And then we have the as measured by. So this goal is achieved by financial dashboard, information on the web, public understanding. That's a little too vague. What the hell is public understanding, right? But these are things that we're going to do. And your comment is probably going to be down in here. So, and I don't know what exactly that looks like, but you see what I'm trying to drive down into? So when you're asking for information on any particular part of the operations of the department, it's going to be covered first in a goal and then by the actions that we're going to come out with. Now,
that's a really good example too, I think, what Nick's bringing up, because I think now we do have a lot of that, and maybe there's some communication that needs to occur to the board, because the trustees, actually, you have access to all of those data now.
Yes.
And those data are actually, and I think everybody that has a highlight trustee email has access to the trustee side of the cloud drive that has all of the detailed data with regard to apparatus expenditures, detail on supply expenditures. You can look at all of that information.
I understand that, but as a person, I see that they're all in there, but it's not categorized in a way that I can look at a particular vehicle. Or I do see sometimes items that are put in the financials that are not split. So there may be a credit card or something that's got $1,000 or $2,000, but I don't know. Did some of that go to truck A? Was that part of the food training thing?
Right.
For something else, and I cannot see that.
And what we want to avoid doing, just let me interrupt you for a second, is you guys are trying to jump to solutions, like what would so we don't want to go there right now, and there are guaranteed 15 different ways to skin that cat.
But training, maybe, and a global, more global goal, and I don't know if that would fit in with a bucket or how we, but a training aspect to what, I mean, I think
for the board?
Trustee training, perhaps.
Right.
Yeah.
So that would probably come in to culture. Like, we could take a goal around, you could have a goal in culture that says, the trustees will be well informed of all aspects of the operations of the district, yielding to increased confidence that the district is being well managed and that the trustees can represent accurately the state to the public, something like that. But we could get into that if we wanted to there. So just think about that again. We're not trying to get to solutions tonight. We're just trying to get comfortable with the process of writing a goal. And then underneath the goal, we want to pick a couple of initiatives that really knock it out of the park. If we do one thing that would achieve that goal, we would want to do that rather than doing two or three things. And so when I look at just our sort of brainstorming list, that financial dashboard, I think everybody agrees, that would be really big. Okay, so then we can start to prioritize these alignment actions. Okay, that's pretty important, Lana. We'd like you to spend more time on that than something else. And Jason, you know, give those guys that direction, because that's gonna what it's gonna have to come down in here. Make sense? You know, when you think about the trustees' knowledge and training, if you're thinking about creating a bucket for training, just think about that, what that would look like, Walt and Nick. Like, where would we stick it in one of these? Would we change this? You know, like, I'm not sure, just in our conversation, that capital resources is its own bucket. I'm just not sure right now.
Well, I think, I guess I would argue that it is, in the sense that the capital resource with regard to future decisions would be a pretty important component to board decision-making processes and communication with the community in terms of achieving future capital resource goals. Right? I guess from my perspective, you know, looking at it more globally again, the responsibilities of the board, you know, I think one of our prime responsibilities is making sure that the department has the resources in place to achieve the mission. And in order to do that, capital resources become a substantial and very important component in that process.
Get all that? I hope. No, this stuff I wrote?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do capital resources. You want to do one more?
Sure.
So we've got 15 minutes to an hour. Okay. Let's just take capital resources. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about, I think, an educational component. I just wanted to say that maybe education is one of these buckets, and maybe it's a sub-bucket or human resources or culture, but it isn't just trustee training, it isn't just fire training, it's also public training, and maybe that's a global educational piece, and I don't know if it fits just where or not, but I just don't want to lose that thought.
Don't lose that thought. Write it down. What you're going to start to see as we take these buckets and we start to achieve goals, I have a suspicion that financial goal is going to blow into this community relations. Because if you look at that goal we wrote, it's all about being out to the public with information. And so we may say, this is redundant, or we ought to name this something else. So when you think about a bucket, Nick, and you should be doing this, try to write a goal for it. And then we'll look at it with all the other goals, and we'll see where there's overlap and redundancy and where it's unique. Okay, capital resources. What do you think, Walt? What should our goal be for capital resources?
I think our goal for capital resources should be evaluating our financial resources in a manner that, well, I guess I may have to break it down. There's one aspect we should probably spend time maintaining and updating capital replacement plan.
What plan?
Capital replacement. How about we start out with something like the capital replacement plan is updated annually.
And I think there are two aspects, and this is where I get...
Well, I think capital resources, to me, says a list of all the resources the fire district has currently. Then a sub thing could be capital replacement plan underneath that. I mean, right. To me, capital resources tells me right off the bat, what do we have for capital resources in the fire district? The stations, the trucks, the equipment, blah, 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 blah. And then my capital replacement program could be underneath that subheading, if you will.
I think Jason and I had a little discussion about it. I think there are two components. There's the capital replacement and capital improvement. Mm-hmm. So capital replacement would be more in line with taking an inventory of what we currently have and assuming that we're going to at least maintain that inventory in a working fashion.
So that's you're right. You're not, but that would still be, you'd still list your capital resources at the top, then capital replacement, and
now remember, this is a goal. This is not an inventory. So what rolls around in my mind is, like, the district shall maintain. I'm going to make the number up. 85% funding for capital in its capital replacement fund or something like that.
Or maintain.
The district will fund out of operating revenues the capital replacement fund, you know, reducing the need to go to the taxpayers for mill levy increases, something like that. And what you're getting into is that's the information that's required to make that allocation every year. So let's think about a goal sort of from that perspective. So what would you like our capital resource, what would you like the situation to be? I'd like it to be fully funded, right?
I think that would be the goal. I think that would be the stated goal is to provide financial resources to maintain the capital replacement plan.
So think of this like a pension, right? We don't want an unfunded pension. Right. So provide money sufficient to fund what? Capital replacement?
Capital replacement, right.
How about improvement?
Well, I think I'd leave, I was just going to get to that as a second goal. I think I'd have two goals. One would be the capital replacement. The second would be, second goal would be identify future capital improvement needs and subsequent to that, once the needs are identified, methods of funding acquisition of those capital improvement resources.
It seems to me resources is a global word which has two or more parts, maybe, so you maybe will have one goal for resources and then...
Well, when I refer to resources, I'm referring to... So capital improvement would be, Jason has his fleet. Our fire department has our fleet of equipment. Let's just stick with apparatus, and we have our SCBAs, all the capital items. And let's just assume that we don't look at change. We want to maintain working order of that set of equipment. So what financial resources are required to replace that static set of resources, that apparatus set of resources, in a working fashion over time, based on
I understand that
appreciation.
I understand that, but another resource is to have the buildings around it to keep the stuff from freezing. So it's a global resource, of which there are the three structures and buildings, and then there's the capital equipment under. All I'm saying is we want to narrow the goal and leave it to be capital resources, then I think that covers all of our resources. Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's the whole static set that we have at one point in time. And if we assume that there's no growth in the area, that set meets the operational requirements of this department, then what do we need to do to maintain that set, both buildings and equipment? I refer to that as the resource.
Okay, so here's what I try to get there. Provide money sufficient to fund capital replacement. That sort of gets to let's not have an unfunded pension kind of thing. Assure capital needs, in quotes, are identified and reviewed annually, and that monies are set aside to cover planned replacement and upgrades.
Because I think we need to get away from just thinking about rolling stock, right? This place is going to need a new roof.
Right.
I haven't been in that Cottonwood station in years. You got to do something there, like it's going to get new linoleum or something, right?
Build a hot tub.
Hot tub. So again, just trying to drive to really high level stuff, and then, you know, the as measured by here things can be. So as part of that financial dashboard, we have to figure out what that graphic is that shows capital. So in my simple mind, we have these are capital needs that we know are going to be rolling out at a particular time. So they're X dollars. And we currently have set aside in this fiscal Y dollars. So this is the delta that everybody should be worried about is up here, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what we don't have set aside, that if everything blew up and the insurance didn't cover it and all that kind of stuff, we'd have to go get tax money for it.
This is a level of income. But yeah, and I think whether you measure that on an annualized basis, or lump, you know, that's all that we have to figure that out later.
I don't know how to do that, but that could be one initiative that we do to start to achieve this goal. Another one could be just that we get in the habit of, you know, whether we do it at one board meeting or whether we do it at every single board meeting, we're reviewing this capital fund. If we have it on the dashboard, we'll be seeing a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. And because the first thing we need to know is where we are, which I don't know right now. Like, how comfortable do we feel with the money that we have set aside, given the fact that we know the rolling stock's rolling off? I've never seen an assessment of our physical infrastructure, like the Cottonwood Station. We got no idea when that roof needs replacing. You know, and this is something that we could decide to hire a third-party consultant, so we don't have to have our staff do it. But so one, as measured by, might be we authorize the contracting of an independent assessment to discuss the physical capital, right? We want the rolling stock to be the purview of our expert, but the roof is a roof. That makes sense?
And then I think, so then a secondary goal under capital resource, so that'd be goal one under capital resource. Goal two would be to consider capital improvement then.
So
capital improvement, for example, would be down the road, the new building on Gooch, because that's adding to the set that we have, or in addition to whatever our fleet is. We're looking at a replacement question here, but then down the road, are we going to need additional equipment added into the fleet?
Jason, do you commonly think of capital? I'm just getting stuck a little bit on the language. There's like rolling stock and fleet capital, and hoses and pumps and pliers and all that kind of stuff. And then there's buildings. In your experience, do people split those out, or do they lump them all into a...
I don't think there's a standard way of doing it. I mean, it's choice to make of whether you want to. Now, I mean, what you decide to capitalize is determined by, you know, it's the discussion between the board and our bookkeeper or accountant, and what we want to capitalize. Is it things over $5,000? Is it items over $10,000? And then whether you split out facilities from standard capital, again, that's just something for the board to decide. I don't think there's any right or wrong to it.
Why don't we just call it facilities? Is that, I mean, that's what you're driving at. Is it different than the rolling stock?
Well, no. Again, the way I look at it, you have, if you have this, you look at our current inventory of buildings, I view capital as both buildings, equipment, hoses. Those are all capital from an economic standpoint.
Sure.
Those are capital items. Those are all items that are, you know, they're not operational in nature. It's not fuel. It's not repairs. So on. So those are capital items. And so you have this pool of capital items at one point in time. T1. You have this pool of capital items. Now, assuming that set of capital items are sufficient to provide the services that your organization is designated to provide, you know, at one point in time, and if that's static over time, that same set of pool, assuming that they're maintained, you replace them you know, every few years or whatever is required to maintain their usefulness, you can go from T1 through TN and maintain a static level if there are no additional requirements placed upon your organization. But if there are additional requirements placed upon your organization where you need more resources to meet the demands of your organization, as the population increases in the area, are there going to be increased demands? You're 2 times the amount of calls or that sort of thing. So then you're looking at adding, you're increasing the size of that pool.
Sure.
You may go from T1 to T5 with the same pool, and then you're realizing that, you know, population's increased, your call load is increased by 50% or 60%.
I see where you're going.
So it's a capital improvement, whether it's, and to me it doesn't matter whether it's a building or another piece of rolling apparatus. It's still, you're increasing the size of the capital pool.
Okay, so this is forward-looking.
Right, that's more forward-looking.
Okay, I got it. That makes a ton of sense. So this is basically like, here's an inventory of what we got. We know we had a 15-year roof put on a cottonwood. It's in year 14. We reasonably ought to anticipate that next year we get a new roof. This is, sometime in the future, it's a new fire station. It's, you know, 2 more paid staff. It's whatever, whatever, whatever. So would a goal be then something like the trustees and the public are as informed as possible about future anticipated capital growth?
I think that would be great to have those types of discussions and to ask, you know, and that would be part of that public relations component to have that discussion, you know, where we look at call rates and so on and be forward thinking about the requirements and do we want to try and fund those future improvement requirements
now
on an incremental basis?
Right.
Or are we looking at, yes, exactly, with today's money, or are we looking at, you know, the methodology that was employed to construct this building? You wait and you fund it with a mill at that time, or do we segment it to where it's part of the capital improvement? You might fund some of the concept design aspects of it, and then a mill is used to fund the actual main part of the structure. And so maybe we put away some monies to evaluate what type of rolling apparatus or what type of building might be placed on that Gooch Hill site, or another paid staff member, those types of exploratory expenditures might be covered in kind of an incremental reserve for capital improvement, and you use a mill change to fund the actual implementation of the main project.
I like that a lot. I call it CapEx, future CapEx. So the second goal under capital improvements is trustees and the public are as well informed as possible about future CapEx. I don't know if you want to call it needs.
Yeah.
Needs, okay.
Expenditure needs, yeah.
I just call it expenditures. Mm-hmm. That's good. See how this works? Does it make sense? Okay, so that's an hour. Maybe we close with just an example of a single initiative that we've already talked about that would move multiple goals. To me, it seems that dashboard. If we got that done in a month, I'm not saying we have to get it done in a month, that would get to financial systems, the goal we came up with, financial systems, and that would move us a long way towards goal number two, having some information about capital replacement costs. So you see, that's an initiative that we ought to and we'll come up with any number of these initiatives, but when we think about what we want to ask our people to do with limited time and resources, it's got to hit more than one thing. If we're doing one thing that's only moving the needle on one thing, that's not so good. If we can do one thing that's moving the needle on two or three or four things, obviously that's a high leverage thing that we ought to be asking people to do.
And addressing, I think the dashboard addresses that at multiple levels.
Yeah,
it addresses
really
it in terms of public communication, and it also addresses it in terms of the thought process that will be
Yeah, if we keep our five buckets, that single initiative, the dashboard, that's financial systems, capital resources, and community relations, for sure, you could argue that gets into culture and human resources. So that's exactly what this process is all about, trying to figure out and ferret out those things. Now, the next thing we do is we would just to fast forward you ahead, we would take any one of these goals and we'd say, what's the current reality of this goal? And using capital resources right now, the current reality is the trustees and the public have limited knowledge about capital replacement costs and even more limited knowledge about future CapEx expenses. We just don't know very much. So then we need to figure out what is the desired future condition. That's it. We have this goal where the trustees and the public are well informed about cap expenses. And what are we going to do to get there? Well, just handily, one of the first things we're going to do is get this dashboard up and running. And another thing we need to do is by the end of 2019, for example, we have engaged a qualified third-party consultant to come in and take a look at our non-rolling stock, all the facilities that we have, and give us a report. That kind of stuff. So it doesn't put any work on you. And then you may have to tour people around and answer some questions. But the idea here is really important, high leverage stuff. Understand we don't have an army of people. Everybody's got competing time. And pick really important things to do that move it forward.
That's awesome.
Okay. So homework for you all is to just think about this. We have, we took a stab at one bucket, two buckets tonight. So go back and think about goals again. Lonnie, if you could send these around to us, you know, in a week or so, that'd be helpful. Try to model your goals on what we've written here. Really, really high leverage things that do something. So, you know, this capital improvement goal number two, what does it do? It informs the trustees and the public about reasonably foreseeable capital expenses. It does something that's proactive and advances things. So go back and think about it for the other buckets, and if you all think about goals, we can pass them around on email, and we'll start to edit them and get them really tight and nice, and I guarantee you pretty quickly we'll say, this is the wrong bucket, it's covered in this, or vice versa, or whatever. We'll start to see what these things are. And we'll just kick them around, and if you want to start to think about the initiatives, that it would be in here, that'd be great. And if you want to start to think about current reality, that's fine too. And just start to take notes and pass them around, and we'll do this, you know, maybe in August, maybe in September. We can do a lot of this work, you know, all just through email.
That's awesome.
Bob, any questions from you? Thoughts, comments?
Don't know how to phrase what I want to say, particularly if not really questions, not really suggestions, maybe observations.
Sure.
Since you're really not a product organization, you're more of a service organization, on the vertical axis, you might call that fire protection. In which case, you might want to be a little higher. The lower right, maybe the public instead of customer intimacy. Mm-hmm. You're a little bit past that phase. I think it's a great deal to do what you're doing. My only other thought was to try to look globally to adjacent areas and how what you're doing impacts other districts.
And how they impact us.
And obviously.
Yeah. Obviously.
Now that's a little tough to do, but within the framework of your own organization, it's almost a reflection
right.
as you go through the process.
Yeah, you know, in that community relations bucket, we could set a goal that through the actions of the chief, the trustees are well informed of actions and circumstances that may affect the operational response of the district. So for example, great example would be, Jason's at the next meeting, AMR just left town, right? That
has a huge impact on us and what we want to do. So you can think about exactly that point, incorporating something there. That, you know, Jason plays a huge role in community relations because he's out in the community with different, if you think about the community as lots of different constituencies. So thank you for that. Appreciate you coming and spending your evening with us.
I'm kind of a management nut, so the process itself kind of excites me.
Well, good. And I hope this is useful. I am, of course, totally open to your feedback. If you think it was a colossal waste of time, I'd like to hear about that. Not saying I'll change my mind on it, but I definitely want to make this a useful exercise for all of us. August meeting?
Yeah, so the county can provide us with more information around the 9th. And they're asking for a quick turnaround. The commissioners are getting together to review budgets on the 17th?
17th is a Friday.
Right, 17th. And so the 14th is a Tuesday. And so wanted to see if that would work so we can get final budget approved ahead of that deadline.
Works for me. Tell us what that entails.
I don't think we're going to have any changes. Do you see any changes in the budget? So the only thing, it'll be primarily on the income side once we get the actual millage. So we can, but on the expenditure side, I don't see where we're going to, unless there's something that you have.
And is this that county form where we're filling out like five different boxes? For their budget?
Right.
So it's the county budget. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, we've approved our budget.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So just so everybody understands this, we're just filling in the numbers, submitting them to the county, and it doesn't have any real effect on our budget. Right. Okay. Would you like to do another one of these sessions in August, or do you want to have August off a little bit lighter for, you know, end of summer and not get crowded? Do something in September. What's your feeling on that?
So what date are we looking for August for a meeting?
So we got the 14th, where we're going to meet. We could do another work session on, let's see. We could do it the following week on the 21st. If that's too much, we could roll. I'm not going to be available that last week in August. We could try for two meetings in September.
Yeah, the only thing that may happen to me, but it's going to be up in the air, is I could be gone helping with harvest.
Sorry, but this trumps that.
So September better? Is that too long? Can we keep...
We could shoot for...
Well, the only thing that's normally on the agenda for August is the final budget.
You want to just try to do a work session that 14th?
Yeah. Let's just do that.
So we'll have the regular meeting, we'll close it, and we'll open a work session. Okay, let's do that.
August 14th.
So let's plan on going. We'll hit budget. We don't need to extend the time. That's going to go so quick. That's just a motion.
Yeah, that's
and
just approval.
All right. Great. All right, so the 14th, so...
There are a number of continuing items from the last meeting, policies and...
Okay, let's take a look at it, and, you know, we're not going to keep everybody to 10 p.m., but maybe we'll go a little bit longer than... We've been going about 45 minutes the last couple of meetings.
One of the things she's talking about is the bylaw change.
Right. But we should have that pretty much...
That should go pretty.
Red line, go pretty. You guys have explored the language.
Pretty much.
Okay, is there anything else on this? Let me just adjourn this meeting.
I would ask, just for my own information, since it's my first. I've tried to go for hamburgers and pancakes whenever I can, but I had no expectation in an official capacity. So the question is, does this board have any culture or official capacity of talking to people there, visiting with them? Is there any kind of a plan that you suggest that we...
This is for the barbecue?
Yeah, so we reach out to people and do any of that? Is there anything that you normally do as a board?
Shake hands and kiss babies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I won't be there. I got a prior commitment. But yeah, I think it's great. When we show up, you should have a name tag, hopefully. I don't know if that's been printed for you yet, but
I got a safety pin and a piece of paper.
There you go. Please show up.
Do the board members have?
Yeah, we should probably work on
it. Yeah, we have had those in the past.
Okay. I got a bunch in my car.
The three of us sourdough fire department.
It's like a
right, a little magnetic.
Yeah. Okay.
You should just order a new one, sir, buddy.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you for your foresight.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.